Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I believe you're going to be blessed by what we've got to say today on the topic of spiritual warfare. You know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, so many times we are so scared of the devil, we want to just run all over the place, thinking of the power of the devil. You know, the devil is so this, the devil is so that. But if we really see what spiritual warfare is all about, we'll find such a freedom to live in Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get into that, I want to just pray for the sick. I just believe that I want to take a couple of minutes in every session and just speak a little bit about the healing power of God. Let's quickly turn in our Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to read there from verse 1. Behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, all them that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day comes that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, the sun, and that's S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Let's read verse 2 again. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now that is a very profound scripture. It blesses me to see that the Bible speaks of the Son of Righteousness, the S-U-N of righteousness. Now the Bible speaks of God as a consuming fire. Now the word heal in Isaiah 53, one of the meanings, the Hebrew meanings of the word heal is to consume. Now, if God is a consuming fire, that means that fire will burn over your life and will consume every sickness there is in your body. That's why it's so important to know and understand the glory of God. When you look into the glory of God in scriptures like Exodus 34 from verse 6 and 7, the Bible says that the glory of God is the goodness of God. So the sickness that's in your body will be consumed by God's goodness, not by your faithfulness, not by your doing everything right. The sickness that's in your body will be consumed by the goodness of God. And if you sit there and you want to listen to this broadcast and you've got pain in your body, I've got good news for you. The Bible says the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. And in Acts chapter 2, I believe that glory was poured out all over the earth. And wherever people believe in Jesus Christ, that glory is manifested. That's why the Bible says that if we look into the glory of God, excuse me, if we look into the finished work of Jesus Christ, unveiled, in other words, not by the law, we will be transformed from one glory, which was the law glory, into the New Testament glory. Now that glory is everywhere and can be manifested by whosoever believes in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you, the healing glory of God is not to come onto you. It's already in your house. Where you are seated right now, it is there. Where you are seated and you feel that liver cancer in your body, where you feel that lung cancer, where you feel that back problem because of a motor car accident, where you struggle to hear, where you struggle to see, where you've got arthritis, I don't care what you have, the glory of God is present right now. And the Bible says that the Son of Righteousness will arise over us that believe in the name of Jesus with healing in its wings. Now I want to tell you, God doesn't have wings. He doesn't go around flap, flap. That wings is speaking of the glory of God. It speaks about the flames of fire that comes out of him that looks like wings. It's actually tongues of fire. And in that tongues of fire is healing. In the goodness of God, there is healing. Now, The Bible speaks of the goodness of God or of the glory of God in the life of Jesus. It says, "And we beheld His glory," John chapter 1 verse 17. "It was full of grace and truth." So I want to tell you, this message of grace that I'm going to preach today is full of healing power. Now, why do I say that? The glory of God is manifested in the grace message. And God confirms His word of grace with signs, wonders, and miracles. And then it also says that in these wings, in this glory of the sun, the S-U-N, this burning fire of God's glory, of righteousness, you know what's going to happen there? There is healing there, and you are to be healed. Now the Bible says when we look into the glory of God, we look as into a mirror. Now what do you see in a mirror? You see yourself. Now when I look into the glory of God, and I don't have the law in my mind, I can see myself the way God is. Now, I don't say I'm God, but as He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4 verse 18. So when I speak healing out of my mouth today towards you, know what's happening? The glory of God that's right in the studio around me is right around you. Know what that makes us? That makes us in the same, that puts us in the same place. If that glory that's around you is the very same glory that's around me, we are together. And if I speak this word, like with Jesus, out of Him comes flaming fire. When I speak this word, you believe this word, that fire is ready to consume every cancer cell in your body. It's right there to cure and heal every broken bone in your body. I believe God is healing you when we speak this word. Now, let us just speak the healing power of God, and then we're going to get into this topic of spiritual warfare. Now, before I pray, you'll see a number on the screen. As you receive your miracle, as you receive your healing, I want you to just SMS it, just as a testimony of what God has done for you. Do that, so that we can hear what God is busy doing in your life. I just believe that God has just, man, the anointing of God is there to heal the sick. I love praying for the sick. I want to see you healed right now. Now, get ready for your healing. The glory of God is in your house. It's right there, right now. I speak healing over you. Now people, when I speak this, there's fire, there's glory coming all around you, which is the Holy Spirit. Not because of my great faith or anything like that, but because of God's faithfulness. Because of God's integrity. We rest our minds in His integrity. He's healing you. In the name of Jesus, I bring you the healing power of God. I call for healing in your body. Healing for cancer, healing for sugar diabetes, healing for arthritis, healing for back problems, healing for knee problems, ankle problems. I see people throwing away their crutches right now. In the name of Jesus. If you struggle and you couldn't get up because of problems in your knees, just get up from that couch you sit on, that chair you sit on, and start to walk up and down. God is healing you by His power. That's it. Just test that power because it's upon you. God's glory is healing you. Not your awesomeness, not what you've done. The glory of God. It's easy to be healed. You are healed right now. I just command pain in your body to leave. I just say you are healed. I bring you life. I bring you healing. I come right now with an unveiled face and I reflect the glory of God right into your life. You are healed right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, my God. I can just, by the Spirit, experience that God's healing people. Through this broadcast, people are going to be healed. So just send that praise report right now. And we are continuing with this message on spiritual warfare. Now, when we get into spiritual warfare, we need to start in Genesis chapter 3. And you might say, Bertie, why starting in Genesis chapter 3? I mean, that's the Old Testament. That's the story of Adam and Eve. How can you start with spiritual warfare there? Now, I believe that's where the things start. And this is the whole foundation of spiritual warfare. Now, Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that tree was good for food, that was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I want to make a statement and then explain it. This was the implementation of the do's and don'ts mentality. This was the implementation of by what I do I'll become, and this which is the law. Now you might say, Bertie, you're taking a fat chance, because the law only started and was given to Moses. Now that is not exactly the truth. That was when the law was given to Moses. But this was when it was implemented by Adam. Now let's explain to you what's going on here, because this is the whole thing about spiritual warfare. Adam was created by God in the very image of God. Adam found his existence out of the Spirit of God that dwelled in him. The Bible says that Adam or man was dust. Out of the dust of the earth God formed man. And then he blew the breath of life into him. And when he blew the breath of life into him, he found his existence out of the Spirit. Isn't that powerful? He blew the breath of life into him, and then out of that he found his existence, because God indwelled him. So Adam was holy, in the image of God, in the righteousness of God. He had the mind of God. Why? Because God lived in him. Then God said unto Adam, Subdue and rule over this planet. And then he said to him, Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat of it, you will die. Now how will he die? The only way for Adam to die is for life to leave him, and life that was in him was God. So Adam found his being and his life, the breath of life that was in him was God's Spirit that indwelled him. Then he should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He should not go to the thing that says, I know what's right and wrong, and I'll find my existence in what is right and wrong by doing and living by that rule of what's right and wrong, I'll find life. Because the moment you do that, you will have to put aside the Spirit of God or the message of the Spirit, and you'll die. Now let's read verse 5. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So God speaks about eyes being opened up. And when your eyes are opened up, you die. Now let's quickly go to John chapter 9 and just see what the Bible says about this whole eye thing. It says there from verse 39, And Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So what happened? They said, The Pharisees said, "We see." Now, the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. They said, "We see the way unto salvation. We've got the law. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. If we do the right thing, then we shall live." Now, man, we never thought, and it is, I haven't heard it being taught that that was what happened in the Garden of Eden, but that's exactly what happened. The mentality of, by what I do, I'll be like God, was implemented right there. Their eyes were opened. If they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes will be opened. And we read, when they ate of it, their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked, and they saw sin. And they died. The wages of sin is death. The only way for Adam and Eve to have died was to have sin in their life. And the Bible says, where there's no law, there is no sin. So they had sin. They had sin in their life. That's why death was in their life. Now, that is just the way death works. Now, when we look at the scripture, we need to realize that that was a war in the mind of Adam. When they looked at the law, when they looked at do's and don'ts, it looked good. It looked as if it could make you wise. It looked as if it could produce fruit in your life. It was good for fruit. It looked as if this could produce fruit in my life. And it looked as if it could make you wise. Now, you know, the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. So there is a wisdom, something that looks very wise, but is foolishness unto God. Something that says, if I do everything right, I'll be holy. You know what that is to God? That's foolishness. Because you'll never be able to do it all right. Wisdom to God is, I'll put wisdom, I'll put righteousness, I'll put holiness in you, I'll indwell you, and then you'll be like me. That's wisdom to God. Foolishness to God is to say, well, I'll by what I do be like God. Now, what the devil said here to Adam and Eve is, he said to them, you'll find your existence and you'll become like God, like Elohim, by knowing what is right and wrong. Your eyes will be opened, you'll see the right and wrong thing, and you'll find your whole life by what is right and wrong. If you want to obey the law, you'll have to live by the law. Now, that's what he said here. You'll have life by what you do, by knowing the right and wrong thing. No, the New Testament's not about right and wrong. It's about life. It's about Jesus. It's about the Spirit indwelling you. So what Adam and Eve did was, they left the whole Spirit thing for the do's and don't thing. They left the Spirit thing for knowledge of what's right and wrong. Because they weren't walking in knowledge of what's right and wrong. They were walking in the knowledge of God. There's a difference between the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the devil or the wisdom of this world. The knowledge of God is knowing life. Now, let's put it in today's terms. The knowledge of God about us is that we are righteous. We are holy. We have been healed. As He is in heaven, so are we in this world. We have been clothed with the glory of God. That's God's knowledge. Now, the world's knowledge is, or having our eyes enlightened unto right and wrong, is the wrong thing in our life and the area where there's no life. And the area where we don't see the manifestation of it, where we walk by the flesh. And by what is wrong, and that produces death in our life. Now, we don't want to walk by that knowledge. We want to know what God knows. And that's what God gave unto Adam. But He didn't do that. You might say, but Bertie, you know, how can you say this whole thing was the law? Let's read verse 17. And Adam said, and unto Adam God said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. Now, what happened? Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what came? A curse. Now, let's read Galatians quickly. Galatians chapter 3. And we just see where this whole curse thing comes from. Hallelujah. You know, we need to interpret the Bible with the Bible. Don't interpret the Bible with what you think's written there. Interpret the Bible with the Bible. When it speaks about the curse, and it says that, how does a curse come? Let's look at what the Word of God says. It says in Galatians 3 from verse 10. Let's read from verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So it says here clearly that cursed is everyone that's under the law. So Adam, a curse came onto the ground, and he was cursed because he had to get bread and food by the sweat of his brow now, because there was a curse. So how can a curse come unless you're under the law? So cursed is everyone that's under the law. Adam was cursed. The Bible says there's no sin where there's no law. How could Adam have sinned if he was not under the law? Adam was under the law. The law was just not written down. The law was just not given. But Adam was under the law. Because only under the law are you under a curse. For everyone that's under the law is under the curse. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says where there's no law, there is no sin. So how could Adam have sinned? They've only sinned and they were disobedient. When they were disobedient, sin came into the world because a thought pattern was taken by the representative of man, Adam, into the life of mankind, which says, by what I know about right and wrong and doing the right thing, I'll be like God and I'll find my being in God. And that's what killed Adam. Now that is a very important thing to know, especially if we go to Genesis chapter 3 and we're going to read here from verse 15. It says, and this is very important, it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now what does that mean? That is very easy to explain. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 verse 20 that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath the feet of the church. So the God of peace is going to crush Satan under our feet. His seed, his way of thinking, his head will be bruised under the feet of the church. The church is going to step on that law mentality and walk upon it and forever kill it by the God of peace that indwells us. By knowing the peace of God, letting the God of peace dwell in us and through us, we will have peace. And through us, we can walk by peace and we can bruise the head of the devil, which is a thought pattern of the devil. If we start to realize the devil is not just this demon thing and that whole spiritual warfare about the devils and demons, but it's about doctrine. It's about what you believe. That's the whole war. That's what it was all about and what it's all about today. And we're going to look into this into the sessions to come. But let's quickly go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and this is going to bless you. Man, this is so powerful. From verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now listen to this, and remember verse 15. He says, I'll put enmity between your word and her word. Matthew 13 says clearly that the word is seed. So there's a difference between the word of the devil and the word of God. And there's enmity between the word of the devil and the word of God. And read verse 6 again here. For to be carnally minded is death. How did Adam die? Because he became carnally minded. And the carnally minded that's spoken of in Romans 8 is to be mindful of, by what I do, I'll be like God. Amen. Then it continues, it says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God says, I'll put enmity between you, your seed and her seed. What's that enmity? The enmity is between being in the spirit or to be spiritually minded, which is Jesus minded, which is the life that indwells me, the whole spirit thing. And I don't want to go into that now. That's going to take a lot of sessions. But We are carnally, people are carnally minded. It is mindful of the law. Mindful of by what I do, I'll become. There's enmity between those two things. And that's the whole spiritual war. What's my enemy? My enemy is the thought pattern and the belief system that says, by what I do, I'll become. And the devil becomes my enemy because he wants to enforce that into my life. And our whole spiritual war is to stand in Jesus and not in our human ability or in the flesh, or to be carnally minded. Carnally minded means to say, I take what Jesus has given me, but it's kept by what I do. Righteousness is by my deeds and not by the deeds of Jesus. Man, that's powerful. I want you to go and just meditate upon these scriptures. This is life-changing. Let's, for the last time, read that scripture again. It says, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So the whole spiritual warfare, this whole enmity thing, is between the law belief system and the grace belief system. Stand in the grace of God. Stand in the liberty with which you were made free by Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've joined me, and God bless you. I want to encourage you to make a use of our ministry products. Our products are available for a donation of any amount, and if you cannot donate, we will willingly, for free, send you a CD of any of the series you want. So, make use of this, spread it, copy it, bless people with it, and just get the good news out. Get the Word of God in your heart. Thank you, and God bless you.